Darren, Kerry and Sky, East Coast Radio.
Time now for The Good Professor. Always on a Wednesday morning after 8:30, The Good Professor, Professor Tulio de Oliveira from CRISP at UKZN. He joins us to answer all of your questions. Good morning, Professor.
Hey, good morning, Darren.
How's Kerry, it?
Sky, good morning, Prof.
Oh, the listeners.
Morning, good morning, Profy.
So, Prof, some of the questions that have come through. How long after having COVID and or having the vaccine can I donate blood? Good question.
Okay, thank you, Darren. Yes, that's a very important question, especially because the South African Blood Society have mentioned that this pandemic has really affected the blood supply, and they are requesting people to donate blood just to go to normal. Yeah. To the best of my knowledge, there is no interference between the vaccine and donating blood, but would be much better to contact the SEDS and ask their opinion. Mm. And in relationship after one have COVID, would be a couple of weeks after one clear all the symptoms, yeah? And would be fantastic if more people could donate blood, especially before the holiday season, that we have a lot of accidents.
I think we do need to check that out, actually, Prof, because I did speak to Sambus this week, and they said 3 months after the vaccine. So let me just double check with them
because we are constantly, and we'll take this opportunity once again to implore you, if you are a donor, please go find out where you can donate. Now is the time when we need your blood, and if you've never donated before, please look into it. Yeah, it's a good time to start.
And then, Prof, this question coming out from Sandra Ball. Sandra says, I would like to ask Prof to explain the use of ventilators in the treatment of COVID-19. I've heard that the lung muscles can get damaged by a ventilator. So is it better just to have oxygen only?
Okay, thank you, Kerry. Yes, of course that a ventilator is a very invasive process. Yeah. And it's only used in less resource when oxygenation is not enough. Yeah. In general, the great majority of people, or over 95% of people that develop disease, oxygen will be enough. Yeah. And of course, that once one has a lot of interventions, such as ventilators and anesthetics and being ICU, a lot of time that will damage a little bit, some not only the muscles, but also some of the recovery period. Yeah? But in general, at the moment in South Africa, we have very few people on ventilators. And normally the clinical staff, the medical doctors would really try to avoid that and use that only as last resource.
Prof, a question here from Mark. For people who were vaccinated earlier with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, should they be getting a booster shot? Do we know if the government has plans to give the booster shots?
Okay, thanks, Sky. What we know about that? We know that people that were vaccinated at the Sisonke, this mean healthcare workers or frontline workers, or for example, in our lab at CRISP, everyone got vaccinated as part of the Sisonke because we deal with thousands of positive samples. They will be offered a booster in the next few months. Yeah, and that has been approved by both SAHPRA and also will be part of a phase two of Sisonke. Yeah. In relationship to people that's not frontline, yeah, that kind of guideline should come before the end of the year. One thing that we noticed from the Johnson & Johnson is that seems that the immunity generating from the vaccine is quite long-lasting. Yeah? And I wouldn't be surprised if, like people with advanced disease or comorbidities, by end of the year would also be offered a booster.
There's a new vaccine by Sinopharm that is supposed to be launched in South Africa. When will it be launched, and is it safer than the current option?
Okay, thank you, Darren, and thank you for the listeners for the call. So the Sinopharm, it is one of two licensed Chinese vaccines. Yeah, it is the strongest of the two. The other one is called the Sinovac. Yeah. So basically, the Sinopharm has been registered at SAHPRA. Yeah, and it's now about procuring and making that available. At the moment, South Africa has very good stocks of vaccines of both Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer. So I think that will be also associated with the stock levels in the country.
Yeah, and I don't think the stock levels are being threatened by a massive outpouring of vaccinators, although I wish it was like that.
And then, Prof, I've got a question here as well. It says Merck, I think that's how you pronounce it, has announced their antiviral pill that can prevent severe illness from COVID-19. Professor, do you think this works, and would it be a good alternative to taking the vaccine?
Yes, thank you, Carrie. It's great news that the first antiviral have been shown effective. Yeah, and does work. It worked by reducing close to 50%. Yeah, the need of hospitalization and death when someone starts getting symptoms and get sick. Yeah, if it's going to replace the vaccine, what we think is that we'll complement the vaccine. Mm. Yeah. So, for example, because the vaccine also have an effect of like also decreasing transmission, yeah, and make people not getting sick, so they don't need to go to a hospital to get treated or get pill. But in general, it's great news, and we look forward for more antivirus. As many weapons we have in the arsenal against that virus, better and easier we'll go to go to normal life.
Professor, this is Darren here with a follow-up question to that. Is this the first time we've had an antiviral pill, or are there other antiviral pills on the market for other viruses?
Darren, it's the first time that we have a proven antiviral pill. This means
that's what I thought.
A pill that have action against the virus. Yeah. What we have another treatment called dexamethasone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which also helps to decrease the development of very severe disease.
Yeah.
But that's not an antiviral pill, yeah, or does not affect the virus directly.
Okay, so this is groundbreaking. This is very, very exciting news.
Prof, I got a two-part question here from Nishara. I'd like to find out, I'm due for my second Pfizer jab. Do I have to go back to the same facility I had my first one done, or can I go anywhere the Pfizer vaccine is available? And then, is there a difference between the first and the second vaccine? Is one stronger than the other?
Okay, thank you, Sky. Very good question. Yeah.
So,
the simple answer is you can go to any facility. You don't have to go back to the same facility, mm-hmm, that you got your first jab. Yeah. And the relationship between the first and the second jab is exactly the same vaccine. It's no different. It's, mm-hmm, not like jab number one and then a different one. Jab number two is exactly the same. And what's going to happen, the jab number two will build already on high levels of antibodies. Mm. Yeah. And that's why we say once we have been fully vaccinated, in the case with the Pfizer with two shots, then your chance of developing disease will be almost none, or very, very, very little. And also will reduce a lot of transmission. And you're going to get a code that you can travel around the world and even go watch Bafana, like, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you, Professor, and thank you, Nishara, and to Adila, and to everyone else who sent through your fascinating questions. I'm sure the Professor has answered those for you. And listen, if anyone missed this, or if you missed parts of it, and you want to catch the full podcast this week, last week, and the week before, they're all available on podcast on the website, ecr.co.za. Click on Darren, Kerry, and Sky Show.
To listen to these moments and anything else you might have missed, go to ecr.co.za and click on podcasts.